Well, hello, everyone. This is Pam Grennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show, coming to you from the RBR Network. We're glad to have you joining us this evening for this cosmic journey we're beginning. We're located out of Memphis, Tennessee, but I am in Redmond, Washington, and it is warm up here, but not so humid. But I know the people that live here, they just, you know, they don't love it because we don't have a lot of air conditions like you do more in the south. But I love it. It doesn't get too hot for me. I want everyone to know that you can access this show easily by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford Live or by going to the archives, which are available shortly after the show finishes. Really, it is the on-demand section. So if you want to listen to it again, go to the on-demand section. Now, if you're not online or you have someone who wants to hear the show, you can always call in to 347-838-9142. And if you have a question, and you use the same number, 347-838-9142. And Annie, the moderator, will see your number pop up, and she will get you in. And so we're excited. We're going to have a great show tonight. Chris Anderson, an intuitive counselor, he's been on before, is going to be sharing some great stuff with us and also be doing some little mini readings for people. So get your questions ready. And he's got a lot of people on the show tonight calling in, so only one question. So get it, get the one you want answered. Now, I wanted to tell everyone about the RBR Network. On Mondays, my show is always at 6:30, that's Central Standard Time, the Cosmic Contact Show. Tuesdays is the I Am Well Show, that's at 8 p.m. The Night Search Show comes on at 9:30 p.m. Wednesday is the No Show at 7. And then at 8:30 is the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. It's a great show by James Renford, who is the owner of the RBR Network. The Progressive Thursday is the Progressive News Weekly, and that's at 5:30, and this is all Central Standard Time. The Friday is the Searchers Roadmap Show at 1 p.m. The Dream Vision 7 Show is at 3 p.m. Saturday is Soul Town, The Sound of Music. That's at 3 p.m. Sunday, again, is the Dream Vision 7 Show, and that's at 3 p.m. So be sure and listen in all week long. Got some great people that will be interviewed on the show, and you know that I always have the best stuff, and I really feel like I do. I love everyone that is on my show, and they're the real deal, they're authentic, and you know that you'll get some good information. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Chris Anderson. He has been doing intuitive counseling using tarot cards and astrological casting. Chart casting since 1970. So he has a great foundation and in psychology, and he's been initiated in mystical Native American methodologies by his grandfather in his youth, who was a full-blooded, he'll have to tell you about his grandfather, Indian. Chris is One Feather, that's his name, nurtures and supports his clients on both the physical realm as well as the metaphysical. It is his intention to align the seeker's earthly journey with their spiritual unfolding. In addition, Chris also brings both meditation and affirmative prayer to his work and supports his clients in realms other than just mundane information seeking. So he really gives you a full counseling when you call him to get readings with him. Anyway, we're really excited that we have Chris here. To begin with, you might want to write this down because we're going to be mentioning it throughout the show, but he can be reached at his website at www.onefeatherjournal.com. And, well, good evening, Chris.
Good evening. I apologize for that. Unfortunately, on this phone, I don't have a mute button, so when I'm clearing my throat, I can be somewhat noisy, unfortunately.
Oh, you're perfect. Well, we talked earlier, and you said that you were going to share before, you know, you start talking to people, something regarding The Course in Miracles, which is one of my all-time favorite books, and it's going to be about forgiveness and forgiving ourselves for having created this craziness that we have in our lives, that we've created, right?
Exactly. You know, the entire foundation of A Course in Miracles is based on the idea of forgiveness. And in reality, in order for us to be able to receive forgiveness from higher consciousness, God, however you want to format it, we have to be willing to forgive those around us. You know, it's kind of the human condition that we are by nature inclined to go petitioning on our hands and knees, "Oh God, forgive me for what I did." But then when somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, you hold a grudge for the next 4 hours and, you know, it's impossible for you to actually let go of that because you lodge it in the subconscious and there's this wedge of condemnation that you're putting out into the universe to others. And so the cornerstone for healing and regeneration and getting your life on track and under control is really basically built on that whole concept of forgiving everyone that you encounter for every situation that that happens between the two of you. And then that opens up that reservoir of forgiveness from higher consciousness, from the universe itself, so that you are no longer carrying, you know, this huge burden of guilt and condemnation from those around you. So it really is a very important first step in the process of your own personal awakening. And if you haven't encountered A Course in Miracles, I highly recommend it because it is, I think, singularly the most transformative book that has ever come through on this level of consciousness. It supersedes the Bible and the Gita and all of the other books that are out there simply because it goes to the core of what it is that we are experiencing here on this realm and why our lives are so dysfunctional and ultimately why the whole idea of death came into being and how we can resolve that concept of death and hopefully in this incarnation or some other incarnation consciously step out of our body rather than going through that darkness that we you know, identify as being death, because in reality we are as eternal as God is. We were created in God's likeness, so if God is perfect and eternal, then we must be the same way. And we have forgotten our true identity. We've forgotten our heritage. And the only way back to resurrecting our true identity is that first step of forgiveness. So, yeah, it's something I've been working with for 20 years now, The Course in Miracles. And there are groups all across the country. You can buy the book online. There are a multitude of, you know, groups on Facebook and meetups, and it's out there. It's available to everybody. And if you want to heal your life on any level, whether it's physical healing or spiritual healing, the course is definitely that first step in the right direction to really get your life back under your control and no longer be the victim of life.
Well, I love everything you share, and I'm right there with you on that. And I love the course. I think it's for everybody. It is. And of course, it totally raises your consciousness by doing the course, which is another way people want to say, well, how do I get into a higher calibration, you know, in consciousness? And that's a great way right there to do it. You know, it goes right along with meditating. You know, I have a question for you. And when my sister was sick, and she was a big Course in Miracles person, advocate, and she did the course twice through. And but when she was sick, I was helping her unpack some things, and when I took her into hospice, and she was going through her purse, and she handed me this little card. It's, you know how the little Course in Miracles cards, you pull one a day. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the daily lessons. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. But there was just a little card. Yeah. Well, this one is, and of course she's in the hospice, and it said, and I've kept this card, it says, "Swear not to die, you holy son of God." Now, she handed me that, and she says, "What do you think that means?" Even she, who had studied the course, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, like I was saying, that really is, the primary principle of A Course in Miracles is the realization that, number one, God did not create death. I mean, every holy text in the world refers to God as life. And so when we are true to our divine nature, when we are no longer identifying ourselves as a body, and you're starting to identify yourself as being a spiritual being, you rise to that next level where you are enough aware of the continuity of life in the larger scale so that when you have finished the journey in this particular lifetime, instead of dying and then sinking back into that chasm of death, which is an illusion, and it's a very dark illusion, and then having to incarnate again and struggle to relearn and go through the whole process over and over and over. So really, the whole principle of A Course in Miracles is teaching us how to step out of our humanness and step into our godlikeness, which is what Jesus did and Siddhartha did. You know, Siddhartha evolved to become the Buddha. Jesus evolved to become the Christ. It's all one expression of self, and that's what we are. In the beginning, the only thing there was God. So if God is going to create anything, you know, within itself, God is going to basically reproduce itself. That is God's child. So that really is literally the process, how we came into being. So we are so close to God and so intimately connected to God that there is not the whisper of a heartbeat or a breath between us and God. We are totally unified and one with God. But we fell asleep. We went off on our own. We have the same level of free will that God has. And so a part of the God consciousness decided, oh, I want to go away and do something else. And not recognizing that a separation from God, which is life, could only result in that which is not God, which is death. That is the point of contact where all of this came into being. We created the dream, and now we're trying to awaken from the dream. So really, you know, there's a passage both in the Old Testament and the New Testament of the Bible that says, it gives God no great pleasure to see man die. Well, man, in that sense, is God's expression or God's progeny, God's child. And it gives God no great pleasure to see any of us die. But we have embrace that idea of separation. And within the idea of separation, if you separate yourself from life, the outcome is death. So, you know, it's just over and over and over again. We've been keeping this ball bouncing for the last, 9 billion years, and we'll probably have another 9 billion years to resolve it all. But ultimately, we will never truly die. We'll just fall into that coma again and then come back up to the surface and incarnate and go through all of our silly little adventures and then die again until finally we get to the point where we're willing to reject that. We're willing to allow ourselves to be absorbed back into our God-created state of being, the Christ consciousness.
Okay.
Did that make sense?
Yes, it did. You know, I have, I was talking to someone the other day about reincarnating, you know, in another lifetime when we leave here. And not the first person that said this. Oh, I'm not coming back. This is my last lifetime here. Well, for this to be the last lifetime here, you know, I'm going, okay. I mean, I would like that too, but there's some level I'm thinking maybe this isn't my last lifetime here. Maybe, you know, I'm thinking it's going to take more work and more something than I'm already doing to make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, when you get back to the core of A Course in Miracles, we learn that there is one God and there is one child of God. And so there's only really one of us here. But within that oneness, within that truth of God, the true abstract nature of God, there is the infinitude of that expression that goes beyond time, it goes beyond space, it goes beyond anything comprehensible in this world. But the thing we have created here, those of us who are in the trap, nobody gets out of here until everybody gets out. And that's repeated over and over and over again throughout the Course in Miracles and, again, in a lot of holy text. Because the only way that salvation can occur is for everybody to go home in one big bang, one big experience of atonement, you know, becoming at one with God again. The Course tells us that what will happen as we begin to evolve, we begin to realize that we have to, number one, love everybody unconditionally that we encounter, and number two, be prepared to evolve to the point where we are actual teachers of God. And then the third step is to step out of the physical incarnation. But the Course very specifically states that we will still be here. It's just that we will no longer be corporeal. We'll no longer be dragging a body around that's going to rot and decay and go down hard and dirty with cancer or this or that or some other hideous ending. So within that, we recognize that once we have evolved, once we have begun to truly awaken, we become excited about the idea of stepping out of the corporeal world, the physical reality, and being a non-physical being in this realm, helping to heal and assist and awaken everybody who's here. So if somebody thinks that they're going to reject all this, oh, I'm above all that, I'm just going to walk away from it and never come back here. It's like, no, you're part of the whole journey. And you're not going to get out of here until the rest of us get out of here too. So, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow, but that's just the facts. And that's the reason that the whole point of A Course in Miracles directs us to love one another, to love every person that has ever been born, no matter how heinous their crimes may appear to be. We have to look beyond the ego, beyond the physical evidence, and see the spiritual core within that individual and love that and call that forth. You know, and I, in my lifetime, I've seen it on multiple occasions where somebody was really a nasty, dirty son of a gun that you just didn't want to be around. And then somebody would come along who was able to transcend that shell that this person was projecting. And they looked within and they saw the beauty of God's creation that was indwelling that shell. And boom, all of a sudden that person mellowed. That darkness started to vanish. You know, that hardness and that brittleness started to turn into a malleable exterior. And, you know, they literally went through a transformation, not because of somebody dogmatically, you know, punishing them or preaching at them, but because one person who had that capacity to see above and beyond the illusion of this world saw the godness within them, saw the Christ within them, and it awoke. They awoke from, or they awakened from that delusion of who they were, and stepped into their truth. So you can see that happening, you know, on multiple occasions throughout the world. You just have to look around, and you'll just, you know, come across those stories. And that really is the way it works. And nobody gets out of here alive, but nobody's going to die either. We just have to stop believing in death collectively.
Oh, that's it. I used to see this wonderful doctor back in Memphis, Dr. Marshall, and I'd go in and I'd be not feeling good and complaining, and he'd say, "Now remember, Pam, we're all alone in this together. Oh, we're all together in this alone." And I would just crack up, and I'm going, "Oh, gosh." Because we do think our egos make it things, well, we're all ourselves in this, you know, and we're trying to work all this out. But you're right. I loved everything you shared. You're amazing. Thank you. And the way you explained it, Chris, so wonderful, so easy to understand. I've done several Course in Miracles classes, and some people can really explain the course some really good and some are a little confusing, because it can be confusing. It's just why you just got to keep doing it until you get it.
Well, and it's definitely all about surrendering. We have to give up the personal self that we've created, you know, and that really is, again, an illusion. And it's like stripping away an onion. You pull off another layer and another layer and another layer, and eventually you discover there's nothing there. There never was anything there. The truth is, all that's there is God. You know, that's why in Sufi tradition, Buddhist tradition, some Christian traditions, when they are making that ultimate proclamation, the only thing that is stated is God is. You don't need anything else. You don't need to go to any other level. There is nothing else beyond God. And that's the beauty of it.
Well, and we have a lifetime to work on it, don't we?
Exactly. We have eternity, because we are endless. And the best part of it is that we are love. A lot of times we forget that. But in truth, everyone listening to us tonight, everyone who will listen to this at some later point, everyone who exists anywhere, any place in the cosmos, at the core of their being, they are love. Because as Jesus said, and as the Buddha said, and as the great Sufi mystics, the great Judaic mystics, and the ancient Christian mystics, all of them have made that one initial statement. You know, it's like, well, tell us, Master, what is God? And Jesus and all the rest said, God is love. That's the core of it all. When you are actually loving those around you, you are literally becoming a conduit. You are manifesting the presence and the activity of God. So what could be more sublime than that realization, that when you feel love, you are expressing God. You're allowing God to flow through you into the world around you.
And here we have got ourselves set up in this world that there's just a lot of things that always seem to be going on that sets us up to not feel loving toward people.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And again, you know, we're believing what we're seeing. And you have to flip that around. If you truly believe in God, and if you truly believe in love, and if you truly believe in harmony, and if you truly believe in prosperity and abundance, that's where you will arrive at. You will see only those things in your life and in the lives of others. Because, again, as it's stated in the Bible, as a man thinketh or seeth, in this instance, so is he. So when you believe firmly in the qualities of God, you will see them come into expression and manifestation in the world you inhabit.
Okay. I understand that.
So, you know, the thing about spirituality, I see all these different schools of thought, and number one, there's always the secret knowledge thing. Oh, this is secret knowledge. Bullshit. Pardon my French, but bullshit. God is the most direct expression of love and of abundance and of harmony and of truth that there is. So there are no secrets with God. God isn't trying to play hide-and-seek with anybody. And that's really how we have to approach our spiritual journey, is recognizing that God doesn't have more love for this group of people over here than for that group of people over there. God is the totality of love, and that love is like a tsunami that covers everything it encounters. And all we have to do is allow ourselves to slide with it, slide forth into it, and ride that surf. So when people try to complicate things, and they come up with all these different theories and all these different schools of thought, in reality, they're just playing an ego-based game. It's kind of like, you know, let's see if we can create as many diversions as possible to keep people from getting to the point where we think we are. And the truth is, spirit and the Course in Miracles and, you know, true life as a spiritual being, it's simple. It's straight to the core. God shoots from the hip. There's nothing complicated. There's nothing hidden. And you don't have to struggle. All you have to do is just still yourself and say something like, Lord, reveal thyself to me. And in that quietude, you will feel that contact. You will feel that presence. So there's no work to it. The only work is just getting that chatterbox mind of yours to calm down enough to be able to hear what God is trying to share with you.
Okay. I love it, and I believe it. Thank you so much for sharing your great knowledge and the way, you know, I know you've studied this for a long time, and to understand it and to share it with us so we will understand and how to love. Because we sure don't know. We know the other side real easy, but we know what we don't want. So maybe once we do get that figured out, we get what we want, what we do want.
Well, and ultimately you will eventually be humbled to the point in this life or some other lifetime to the point where you step away from anything but love with loathing, you know, because you realize that if you don't have love on the top of your needs list, then your life is meaningless. It's pointless. Why go on? So, yeah, absolutely. It's so simple, but mankind loves to complicate things. and loves to obscurificate things. And the truth is, if, you know, if it's not direct, if it's not clear and pure, then you're looking at it through veils. You're looking at it through illusions. You're looking at it through distractions. But love is pure and simple and straight, and it's easy to find.
Yes. You know, what I think is, I'll have this thing going. I'm like, okay, I'm going to love everybody today. I mean, I'm on it, you know, and I'm happy, and I'm loving myself, and everybody I see, I'm sending blessings, and, you know, and just, you know, feeling joy. And it seems like all of a sudden something happens to show me, oh, you want to feel love today? Well, let me show you what it feels like to not feel love. And then something comes in, you know. Does that happen to you?
That happens to everyone. Even Jesus, you know, relates stories to us to that effect. I mean, he went off in the wilderness and struggled with that very thing. Whenever you're not feeling love, you are putting all
miserable.
Of your attention. Well,
yeah.
You're putting all of your attention on your ego. You're allowing the ego to dictate your reality to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's really a very strange world when you stop and look at it. A lot of people associate their ego with themselves. And again, the ego is just a shell. It's something you created. And as soon as you want to step out of that, sincerely want it, love will rush into that space. God will rush into that space, and you will recognize your union with God, your oneness with God. So the ego is always going to create as much chaos as possible. And if you listen to the ego and identify with the ego, then you're going to have an up and down day pretty much every day of your life.
Yes, that's right. Because the ego keeps us all in fear.
Exactly. Well, the ego inhabits the body. The ego, you know, is the home of the ego, is a physical manifestation of the body. And when you stop and think about it, the body is the most fragile thing conceivable. You know, I mean, a microcosmic organism can bring your body down and defeat you and ravage you and leave you just rotting flesh in a heap somewhere. It can run over you with a truck. It can, you know, take you down with a lover with a machine gun. I mean, it comes in all these different ways. And what that does is it convinces you that you are mortal and that you are a body. Now, imagine God being the supreme level of love, thinking about his creation, his expression, or its creation, I should say more appropriately, its expression, do you think God would take its own child, and now this is the source of love, taking its own child, which should be love in manifestation, and putting it in a physical body? I mean, that's just insane. God would never do that to us. But in order for us to experience that sense of separation, we had to create something to inhabit so that we could say, well, I'm over here. I'm in my body. And God's over there, wherever there is. See, and it gives us this sense of being separated from God. But it is the most vulnerable creation imaginable. And so that's why we have to really shift our consciousness back. You know, it's a very subtle step. You get up in the morning and most people, they ask their body, how do I feel today? Oh, I got a pain in my ankle. I got a pain in my butt. I got a headache. I got a this. I got a that. But how many of us get up in the morning and instead of asking our body, how do I feel, ask God, hey, God, how do I feel? You know, and as soon as you quiet the mind and approach it with that question, this sense of joy, this sense of harmony, this sense of enthusiasm for life begins to rise up within you. So never ask your body. There's no such thing as body wisdom. There's only spirit wisdom. And so in the morning, don't ask your body what's going on. Get up and ask God, how do I feel today, God? And you'll get an answer that will make your day work a lot better.
Okay. I'm going to keep doing that. I forget.
I think
it sometimes.
Yeah, and just, you know, be mindful. Write it on the mirror in the bathroom so that when you're combing your hair or brushing your teeth, you stop for a second and go, oh, I didn't ask God how I feel today.
That's just amazing. Thank you, Chris, for this great sharing. Well, a few people are still hanging on the line. I think we should try to talk to some before we've got about 25 minutes here. Let's bring, are you ready to talk to someone?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to bring our first caller in, Ibitar. She's been waiting for a while. Hi, Ibitar.
Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hi, how are you? I'm enjoying the show today.
Well, great. I'm glad you're kind of linking in with us and sharing these thoughts about life and the meaning of life.
Yeah.
Well, what was your question?
Very, very interesting. Very interesting levels of awareness that you're sharing with us, because I think that most people are disconnected from their hearts and their souls, so therefore they're disconnected from God too, in a sense.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I wanted to share is that, and I guess it has to do with the level of awareness that we are in the fifth dimensional world, is that a lot of abilities are coming online, kind of, we call it reawakening or remembering, in terms of what our full potential is as spiritual beings. That's what my question is about. And I don't know if you have been interacting with people that are having some of the same experiences or not.
Well, yeah, there again, this realm is all about duality. And so until we resolve this whole universe that we currently are mucking around in, we'll always have duality. And within that, there is a duality of all the different dimensions, and they all have a positive side and a negative side. That's what makes them work. It's like, the two coils on a battery. And, yeah, you can go through multiple dimensions and discover the ability to, you know, bring forth all these amazing expressions and creations. But really, again, that becomes almost like a circus show. You know, you're doing these signs and wonders, and you're doing all these wonderful expressions, and it's great theater. But is it really getting you back to a sense of fulfillment? So I think that, you know, we have to explore all these things in order to arrive at a point where we realize, oh, we're just, you know, we're just doing a balancing act, walking across Niagara Falls here, when in reality there's something even more profound and much deeper that we can return to, that deeper level of love. So these are all stages that are part of the journey back, and there are definitely people out there who are, you know, expressing them profoundly and brilliantly. There are other people who are struggling to understand them. But it's just like it's kind of like a way station on the way home, and we will eventually outgrow all of those things too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, can you imagine living in a state of eternal ecstasy, where there's no need for diversions, there's no need for fireworks and sparklers and all these toys that we have created for ourselves to amuse ourselves, but to just get back to that state of ecstatic existence and realize you don't really care about any of the other stuff, you know. And we'll outgrow our toys. We'll undoubtedly get beyond all this and arrive at a point where we will ultimately want that continuity of perfection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a process, you know, getting back to that level of awareness, because I think most of us at the frequency that we are, we wouldn't be able to, bliss is very powerful, just like love, and that's a very powerful presence to be in bliss continuously, so I think that's a process too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And like I said, it's all part of the journey. You know, in order for you to recognize that, number one, you've stepped out of the light, and number two, you want the light back, you have to go to that extreme edge of darkness. And that's what we did. We took ourselves, you know, to the depths of darkness. And now we're beginning to realize, oh, this really doesn't work for me. I think I want to go back into the light. And that's what we're engaged in. So it is multidimensional. It is, but it's all ultimately going to be resolved without any real damage having been done. It's like waking up and saying, gee, last night I got beheaded in a dream that I had, but I woke up and discovered, oh, it was only a dream.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in, Avatar.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, we're going to move on to our next caller, see what they have to say.
Let's bring in. Okay.
I'm going to bring in Mitchu from Texas. Hello.
Hi, good evening. How are y'all?
Wonderful.
Great.
Good. Well, I was actually wondering, will you be giving any intuitive readings by any chance?
Sure.
Okay. Did you want a specific question, or were you just going to say, I guess, what comes to mind? I can give a specific question if that's what you...
Yeah, I think probably a specific question, although right now
okay.
I feel like you're really working on a lot of relationship issues on a lot of different levels, and those are all looped back into the relationship you have with yourself. So ultimately, whatever question you've got, I think it goes back to that love, that level of how much do you love yourself. Does that make any sense at all?
It does, yeah. I was actually going to say about my love life, if you saw anything for that, or I was going to ask about relationship.
Well, right now, you know, I think you really have to get comfortable with yourself again. You're still in a state of judgment about yourself with previous relationships and previous frustrations and, you know, and just, you know, that pain that we all feel when things go south in relationships in our life. We carry the guilt and the scars, and you really need to do some deep healing work with that. And, you know, one of the things is to create a period of time every day where you sit down and you're actually engaging with yourself in a mindful way and,
mm-hmm.
you know, affirming the truth of your identity. And I think that September is what I get strong around you. I think that's when you're going to bring somebody into your life that is going to be pretty amazing, but you've given
okay.
yourself a few months here to heal and to learn how to love yourself more appropriately,
mm-hmm.
and then that will be reflected back to you from the person that you pull in.
Okay. And is this somebody completely new then?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're still wounded from current relationships, you know, and you're carrying those wounds, but so is the other party. So you have to really work on forgiveness of them and of yourself, and you'll see, you know, those scars start to heal and go away. But I think you're ready to part with some of the people in your life
mm-hmm.
now and move on.
Right. Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you.
Absolutely. You bet.
All right. Well, that was awesome. Okay. All right, well, let's keep moving on. Now I'm going to bring Georgia in. She's from Memphis, Tennessee. Hold on. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Georgia.
Hello.
Hi. I'll make it quick because I know we're short on time. I'm an astrologer, too, and I'm a wannabe writer. And a little bit of a late bloomer because I wanted to write when I was young, but I couldn't make a living at it. So I did it when I retired. And I've got a finished manuscript, and I really would like to get it published. And I can tell you that, you know, in my chart, my sun is in Virgo in the 11th house, and my Leo Mercury is in the 11th house. And I have a Uranus conjunct the north node in the 9th house, and then 3rd house I just have the south node. But what houses do you look at when you're looking at something like career as a writer? Do you look at 3rd, 9th, 10th?
Oh, I think they have soft impact in the situation. I also look at the 6th house. You know, you're the natural home of Virgo.
Right.
That's where your career is always going to be defined for you. But I also look very, very much at the position of Pluto in the chart. Now, if Pluto is either well aspected in your birth chart or else one of the transiting planets, especially the outer planets, is giving you a good aspect to Pluto. That's the gateway. Pluto is our connection to, you know, human consciousness, to the collective consciousness.
Right.
So you'll always see people who make it big in the world. You'll always see Pluto as being the most active planet in their chart. Like,
well, Pluto's in my 10th. In my 10th
wonderful.
House conjuncting Saturn, and they're both in Leo.
Okay, and do you have, let's see, they're in Leo, so right now you've got transiting Pluto at an inconjunct in Capricorn.
Right.
You've got Neptune at an inconjunct in Pisces. Yeah, I would say look at your progressions and see what's going on with your progressions. I think you may find the window of opportunity is going to come up sometime in between December and May of next year. And intuitively, I got you need to take the next step with your manuscript and turn it into a screenplay.
Yeah, that's already done.
Okay.
Actually,
somehow you need.
Then it was a screenplay, and then I had to rewrite the book because in a screenplay you can only follow 4 characters, basically. And so when I rewrote the book, it was much better to go with the screenplay. So that's done.
Okay. You might want to share that with somebody that can give you some really hard input. You know, not criticism, but that constructive observations about this would work, but this couldn't happen on camera, that sort of thing.
Right.
So you need to make some connections with people who can help you really refine it, because I see the screenplay being the thing that flies.
Okay. Well, I lived in L.A. for 18 years. So I worked with some pretty powerful people. I was writing with a girlfriend who wrote screenplays, and we went with Linda Seeger and some of the most famous people in Hollywood to get, you know, to work on it. You can pay them and they'll work with you. So I did that too.
Yeah, I see a production that takes you north to the Pacific Northwest. It may be Canadian, Vancouver, somewhere up in there where they actually make it happen.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. I don't understand much about progressions, but I've got a girlfriend here that does progressions, so maybe she can teach me.
It's a definite necessity to know your progress chart as well as your current solar return.
I've studied that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your upcoming solar return, I believe, probably will have Jupiter edging into Virgo for your birthday this year. If not, it's going to be right, you know, at that point where it's ready to flip over into Virgo. So I think you're going to have a big Jupiter year coming up. And like I said, December through May is going to definitely be a good time to rally and get out there and communicate and promote yourself.
Yeah, I've got 5 Libra planets. Well, I consider my ascendant not a planet, but so I have 5 Libra, 3 Leo, and the only Virgo I have is my sun sign. So they say mm-hmm. I'm a Virgo in disguise.
Well, and the fact that it's in the 11th house, it's forcing you to see yourself as part of the greater community of humankind. So
yeah.
this lifetime has been very vital for you in getting out of it's all about me and moving in that direction of it is us, you know, I am us, I am the collective.
Yeah, I'm very into the spiritual, and the story is, you know, subplots very spiritual. If you get
mm-hmm.
it, yeah, I don't, you know, make it real obvious because no one likes that, but if there's a very subtle lesson if anyone's paying attention.
Exactly.
So, all right, well, that's great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, and you have a fabulous summer.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, thank you. Well, that was great. Well, we still have a few more minutes to talk. Let's bring in Karen. I think that's the next one. Nope, you did. From Arizona. There we go. Hi, Yvette.
Hello. Hi, Karen and Chris. Thank you for taking my call. I was calling because I know now I was just so drawn to the show, and I know now after hearing Chris speak exactly why. I'm at that place in my life where, you know, love is the only reality. It's the key to everything. And I believe it. I teach it, all those types of things. But when it comes to my personal love relationships, I seem to get stuck. And
mm-hmm.
so the current relationship I'm in, I was completely blindsided by, you know, basically him telling me I'm too loving. So how does that affect, he says, messing him up emotionally. Is like, is there something I'm doing wrong? Is it in my ego? What are you picking up around that, Chris?
Well, I think the reality is that he had this desire to confront his own self-love, and you manifested in his life, and it made him aware of the fact that he doesn't love himself as much as he should. It's a very complex little blanket here that that the ego is weaving between the two of you. The thing that you have to do is really step out of the ego in the sense of don't take anything personally. It's your relationship right now has to become very impersonal, and you just have
mm-hmm.
to step back and give him room to breathe, because it's almost like he got what he asked for, and it was like, holy Toledo, I didn't realize what I was asking for.
Okay, wow, okay.
So, and I do see, you know, you have other opportunities. I mean, this is not the end of the road as far as relationships, so, I still think that if you just quietly look for the divinity within him and don't talk about it and don't take anything he says personally, I think he will come back up to the surface. It's like, you know, he's kind of a fish that's drowning in his own water. It's like, you know, you got to swim a little bit in order to get those gills to work and in order to be able to breathe.
Mhm. So just give him space, and if he comes back around, cool. If not, I know there's plenty of other fish that are fish swimming.
Oh, yeah. And interestingly enough, I get a lot of stuff coming up next year in June for you. You may actually end up moving, and it may be because of a new relationship that takes you to an entirely different place as far as how you see yourself and what you place value on in this world. So, you know, right now, put a lot of attention on loving yourself and enjoying your own company, and manifesting that sense of the presence of God around you. Make that your central theme, because next year it's going to be a big upward curve coming up for you.
Okay, awesome. Well, I thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. Well, that was wonderful. I'm glad you shared that with her. I want everyone to be sure and write this down, www.onefeatherjournal.com. That is how you can reach Chris Anderson. And check out his website. He's got a great website. And, Chris, also, I love the things that you're posting on Facebook. So check him out on Facebook, too. You try to keep what?
Oh, I just try to keep a positive thread going for everybody because, you know, by the end of the day, everybody's like, dang, I got beat up again. So and then they hit my page and, you know, there's cool water in the middle of the desert there.
Yes, great pictures, great insights. Thank you. I always check everything that you share. I love it. You are amazing. Okay, we have got two more people. Let's see if we can get them both in here. Even if the says that we're coming up, going off air, we can still talk to these last two callers, so hang on there. We've got Karen, who is next, from Chicago, and then Julia from Texas is after that. Hold up.
Okay.
Hello, Karen. Thank you for taking my call. Karen from Chicago. I was wondering if you see anything. I'm looking for a job right now, and I'm wondering if you see anything on the horizon. I've been trying agencies, and I'm going to try, like, regular companies and just looking to get back to work.
You know, I got a strong hit of universities. I don't know what your career direction is, but kind of sniff around what's going on in university environments and campus environments, because somehow I see a door opening up for you at like Loyola or Northwestern or something like that. What do you do? What is your career?
Management, and I actually had a Northwestern. I was thinking about taking a certificate program. And that was right on my lap, actually, the form. It was like a certificate program for 2 days to do like a resume topper or something.
Yeah, well, I think that would be a good next step. But I also see you somehow working in, rather than in the private sector, I see you working in the education section.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think you may end up finding that there's a job somewhere in one of the schools that you could step into and really bring, you know, a new vision into that career position. So dig around and see what's out there, because I think that's your best next step.
Okay.
Can I get September,
okay,
October?
Okay, that's something I haven't looked at, but I have a management background, but I have been active on university boards and such in the past with my alumni school. I'll take a look.
Absolutely, I think that door is ready to open for you.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
You
thank
bet.
You for taking my call. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Absolutely.
Bye. And thank you, Chris, for sharing that with her. You probably just did tell her something that you picked up that she needed to hear. That's amazing. Well, all right, we've got one more caller. Let's get her in, and then we'll end the show. Her name is Julia. She's from Texas, our last caller on board. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
Hi, y'all. How you doing?
Really good.
Fantastic.
So,
thank you.
We got our second Texan, and we got our second y'all, so I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty common. It was real easy to pick up too.
Oh yeah, I went through Texas last year on the way to Arizona for an event, and 3 days driving through the state, and I was saying y'all to everybody.
Yep, it's definitely contagious, that's for sure. Well, I actually was wondering if I started to do some shamanic journeying, and I'm wondering if there's any way I can deepen that. I've done quite a bit of spiritual work, and I'm quite intuitive.
Mm-hmm. You know what I got around you very strong, and this hasn't come up around too many people, but for you, for some reason, you have a strong connection to the Aboriginal peoples of Australia.
Oh.
And the Aboriginal peoples have a dream life that to them is more important than the physical life. Mm-hmm. And so you'll find that there are entire communities that have a shared existence within a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I feel like some part of you is longing to connect with that and experience that. I think you've had previous incarnations in that kind of society, and you're looking for the dream life to explore it as a collective experience, and that's the shamanic journey that you're ready for next. So look around and see if you can find anybody who's writing any material on that or who has any discussion about that, because there's something very, very powerful there for you to explore.
Okay. I was also told that I was a part of the Tonka Native American. I think it's called Tonka.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that at all, a part of it?
You know, I see your Native American thread running much further north than you realize. I see it up around the Great Lakes and over into the Hudson Bay area. I think that you have had incarnations in those regions, the woodland peoples. So you might want to check out, you might want to check out the Algonquin tribes and look at some of their healing modalities and some of their practices.
Okay. All right. I will do that. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I feel like I have, some relationships too around me that I'm trying to rid of, people that just aren't very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
You happen to see that as well?
Well, I think the big thing there is if you start daily blessing them and start using prayer as a way of blessing them and speak their name and send them a blessing once or twice a day consistently and feel it. Don't just do it from the level of the mind, but try to get into it and really feel that love being extended to them. One of two things will happen. You will either see them change dramatically or they will vanish. Because that's just the way it works.
Okay. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should never chase anybody out of your life. You should never reject anybody. If somebody is problematic, go into that prayer state and ask them to reveal the Christ within them, to show you that, ask for them to give you a blessing. And then you bless them. You consciously bless them. In the name of God, in the name of Christ, in the name of whatever your spiritual belief is, bless them, and you will see transformation, or they will just vanish because they'll go to where they need to be.
Okay. I love that. That's beautiful. I wasn't sure if, part of it was, their own stuff, or if it's something that, I needed to work through, maybe part of my shadow. So I love doing the prayer and the blessing. I think that's very magical and very powerful. So thank you for that.
Absolutely, and make sure you do it for yourself, too. I mean, bless yourself. There's absolutely nothing wrong with calling blessings down upon yourself every day. We forget that. We project everything outside of ourselves. But no. You should bless yourself and forgive yourself and love yourself just as the same treatment that you give to others.
Okay. Yes, I will do that. I will keep doing it.
Well, you enjoy the rest of summer. I think you've got some good things coming, and pay attention to your dreams.
Okay. I was journaling for a while, and I stopped, so I want to get back into that, so I remember to do it right when I wake up, when it's fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you so much. God bless. Love you both. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in and call back. We're going to have another great person next Monday, but I don't know if it's going to be as great as Chris has been tonight. Chris, I just love everything you have shared, and what a great show. Just so amazing. When you were talking about dreams, I woke up this morning right after I had a dream, and I dreamed I was looking at a tree, and it was a cherry tree, but all the cherries were gone off of the tree, but all was left was the you know, the stem and
the pit.
Does that mean my life is going to pit?
No, I think that
that was wild.
Yeah, I think that a part of you has some regrets about the past, you know, and you feel like the greatest part of your life may be behind you, and you need to stop and heal that over the next few weeks. Work on bringing forth the inner child and recognize that you are timeless, and that the joy of life is on the horizon. It's not in the rear view mirror.
Okay. Got it. I do. I understand exactly what you're saying. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing
that.
I'm glad I shared that dream with you. Okay. Well, thank you again for being with us this evening, Chris. You're totally amazing. And I want to get you back again really soon. Keep doing your great angel work and helping everyone. And, again, you want to give everyone your information, how they can reach you. Do you have a certain set amount that you charge for a reading? You want to share that?
Well, basically, it's $100 an hour. So 15-minute reading is $25. A half-hour reading would be $50. And the astrology charts, the full reading, which is about a 45-minute reading to an hour long, we record, you know, all of the readings. But the astrology readings are $125. So.
Right. Good to know.
And if somebody's having, you know, kind of a rough ride, let me know, and we can work on a sliding scale until you get up to speed.
Okay. Well, you'll be able to get them up to speed, I'm sure, with your great work and your great insight.
Well, thank you.
Your intuitive abilities, you're amazing. Thank you. Annie, did you have anything you wanted to share at the end of this evening?
Well, it was a great show. It was great to hear you help everyone. Does anything pop in for me? Just quickly?
You know, I get something around something going on with your diet right now. Are you getting a lot of fresh, like, vegetables and things like that in your diet?
Not like I should be.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that may be kind of bogging, you down is you may be not getting the mineral content. It's not so much vitamins and enzymes or that sort of thing, but I feel like your trace minerals and things like that are kind of, you're flushing them out of the system and not replenishing them. So start eating, you know, like spinach and things like that where you can get the mineral content in your diet bumped up, but I think you'll have more energy.
Okay, I love that. Okay. Well, that's great, honey. And, yes, I'm, like, I'm on the borderline diabetic or whatever, so, yes, I'm trying to learn how to eat right.
Yeah, I think you can make a huge difference. And, you know, I think this is going to be a good summer for you, but I think winter is really going to be amazing. I think that's when, you know, December, January, February, some really exciting things are going to be coming up for you. So just to enjoy the summer and fall. But yeah, winter is going to be a big boom for you.
Yay. Well, that sounds great. I'm ready for it. So, okay. Well, thank you so much. And what a great show. And everybody have a great week after this holiday that we just had.
Yes. It's going to be a very, very amazing summer. So get out there and share the love and pass the love around. And hopefully you'll be speaking with me again before too much longer.
Sounds great.
And we will.
Thank you so much.
Okay, everyone, remember to get in touch with Chris. Just go to www. Check out his website, onefeatheredjournal.com. And we'll talk to you again next week. Get online early.
Bye.